Well, Psalm 129 is a great song of ascents, and this psalm tells the whole story of Israel. Martin Luther had said the 29th psalm is a psalm of thanks in which the people of Israel give thanks for the many deliverances that God has often done for them since the beginning. This psalm is a psalm that in many ways we all can sing, because this psalm in some ways tells the whole story of our Christian experiences. And what this psalm teaches us is that life can hit us with the worst of things, and we can have a confidence and a solid faith that God will see us through and deliver us. So that's the point. God's nation, Israel, and all of God's people can praise God because God will deliver them from all their enemies. There are some wonderful truths to see from this psalm that clearly teach us to keep trusting in God when we find ourselves surrounded by trouble. We can depend on God to vindicate us and to bless us. Israel can know this, and so can we. God's people need to learn they can trust God and depend on God. And sometimes it's just a matter of hanging in there until God delivers. First of all, Israel has been persecuted many times from her youth on up. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 129. "Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth, let Israel now say." Notice how this starts, greatly. The first thing the writer wants us to realize is this is not a one-time event. God's people can know that they will be persecuted many times in life, and it will occur over and over again. It'll be a frequent occurrence. That word persecute is one that speaks of an adversary that is hostile towards someone. It carries with it the idea of putting someone in distress because one is an adversary or enemy who is a constant threat to do harm and damage. God is telling his people that they will find times in their lives when someone will make things very distressful for them. It will happen many times in their existence. God's people will have their share of enemies, and many times God's people will find themselves at odds with people because they are God's property. Israel has been surrounded by that kind of threat from the early days of their existence. Anti-Semitism is the longest national threat that has ever been in existence. Israel has been persecuted from her youth up. As a nation, Israel can go back to the Egyptians who first enslaved her. From there, she is persecuted by the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians, then the Persians, Greece, and then Rome. There were men like Pharaoh and Sennacherib and Haman and Herod who all turned against Israel. There have been people like Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, and many others who have hated Israel and sought to destroy her. Even to this day, she's surrounded by enemies who would love to destroy her. There's been times where even we have been people that need to come alongside them as a nation. So verse 1 says, let Israel now say. Say what? Say that she's been persecuted many, many times. It's interesting that God says you need to say this. People need to verbally communicate the truth about Israel. She's been the most persecuted nation on this earth. It's a healthy thing to verbalize truth about the faithfulness of God to us when we have been in the midst of trouble or torment or trial. It's a very God-honoring thing to do. And when we remember and recite those times of trouble and what we've seen God do, it's a faith-building exercise. So thinking back on times of persecution and trouble are not all bad. There's a principle that we may glean from this, and that is from the time you come to Christ, you will have some hassles with certain people, and it won't be your fault. Israel's been protected many times from her youth up. Look at verse 2. Greatly have they afflicted me from youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Just as God's people will be persecuted many times, so they will see God protect them many times. God's in the business of sustaining and delivering his people. No matter who the enemy, it will not be able to overpower God's people. And just as various nations have persecuted Israel from her youth on up, so God has persevered and protected her from her youth up. Those enemies did not prevail. Israel's still here, and still in existence. She's still safe in the hands of God. And the enemies of Israel are not able, nor will they ever be able, to overpower Israel. In fact, the existence of Israel is a very important proof of the literal value of the inspired scriptures. The Bible clearly establishes the importance of Israel in the plan of God. 4/5 of the Bible pertains to Israel. The fact that Israel has been delivered from so many enemies shows the Bible is to be believed and interpreted literally. No enemy will ever be able to topple God's property. The enemy may attack and make things miserable, but in the end, the enemy will not prevail. And the proof is in Israel. God has enemies persecute. Israel has enemies that persecute deep and long. Look at verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The writer uses an agricultural metaphor to communicate a point. Lengthened furrows speak of a long, drawn-out, extreme affliction. Not only was Israel persecuted, but so was her land. This persecution has gone on for a long time, and it's still going on. And during the days of Hezekiah, the Assyrians literally came in and attacked Israel and desolated the land. Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem and burned it to the ground. Then the Lord is righteous and will cut off the wicked. Look at verse 4. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. It's a very important point to know about God. He's righteous. And what that practically means is that everything he permits to happen is righteous and just. He can be trusted. And in plowing, two cords were fastened to the yoke of the oxen. The oxen would pull the iron plow forward and it will tear open the ground. You cut the cords, you stop the plow from doing any more tearing. That's the point. God is promising to stop the plow of persecution against his people. The point of this is that God is righteous. He's a just God who will always protect his people. The Lord is in a covenant relationship with his people. And those who attack, he will cut off and cut down. One thing to see here is that God does have the power to cut things off that hurt his people. God has the power to cut bad thoughts or addictions or habits and actions. God delights in stopping the destruction. He's the only one with the real power. And all who hate Zion will be put to shame. Look at the first part of verse 5. May all who hate Zion be put to shame. Don't miss what is said here. Israel is hated. She's hated when this was written, and she's hated today. And the reason why she's hated is that she's the property of God. We're not talking here about her just being disliked. She is hated. And this prayer that is based on what God has done in previous time. That noun Zion refers to Israel. It refers to Israel's land. It refers to Jerusalem and to the temple. However, it also refers to the city and place of God's presence. And it's a place that will one day feature the very presence of God. So at the core of a hatred of Zion is a satanic hatred of God and his word. And notice the emphasis of all. So any person or nation who hates Israel is one who hates God. One who hates God and his word will never be honored, but will be humiliated. God will see to it that they are brought to shame. And all who hate Zion will be turned backwards. Look at that last part. And turned backward. So those who hate Israel will never succeed in their desire to destroy her. In fact, things will backfire on them. Their plots and plans will not succeed. He'll turn things backward against them. And all who hate Zion will wither very fast. Look at verse 6. Let them be like the grass in the housetops, which withers before it grows up. One wise commentator uses or observes that wickedness never has longevity. It may offer something temporarily, but that's it. Ungodly people wither fast and end up in eternity with nothing. And many roofs in Israel were flat, and to insulate them, often people would use grass or sod. The problem in the Middle East is that the roof grass withers quickly under the hot sun. The roots are shallow and the sun cooks it before it grows. It's what God will do to Israel's enemies. He will burn them up before they can grow. They may dominate Israel for a moment, but it won't be for long. Her enemies may seem to prevail for a time, but they won't prevail for long. And there's a contrast between what God does for one who fears him versus one who hates him. God is humiliating and burning one who hates him. And then verse 7, all who hate Zion will not fulfill their hateful harvest. Look at verse 7. With which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves his arms. God will see to it that all who hate him and his people never are able to accomplish what they intended to accomplish. They will not reap a full crop, and they will not bind the sheaves. That's a reference to two body parts, the hand and the bosom. One metaphorically pictures what one does with the hands, and the other metaphorically pictures what one does in his heart. And the point is, his heart's desire to use his hands to destroy the people of God will not work. He will not succeed, because all who hate Zion will be recognized as those not blessed by God. First part of verse 8, nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. Haters of Israel will not prosper, and they cannot prosper because God will not let them prosper. He may give them the upper hand for a moment, but in the end they will not prosper. And the same is true of our enemies. There will come a day when we will all realize if you hate God and hate Israel, you are doomed. Never will any nation ever say the nation who stood against Israel got the blessings of God. And then all passerbys will bless Israel in the name of the Lord. They say, we bless you in the name of the Lord. There will come a day when all the nations of the world will praise Israel and testify that she belongs to God. In the course of our lives, we will have many different kinds of enemies. In the course of our lives, we will see God deliver us many times from the enemies. And those who hate Israel, do evil things against Israel, will be destroyed by God. And in the end, we all know that God blesses his people.